You're listening to Ann Misch on Watch Us Go. And today I have with me Jamie Pesch, who is with our planning department. And he's been with us since, how long has it been, Jamie?
I started in late April.
In April. So before we get into what you're doing for the city of Muskegon right now, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself? Like, where did you grow up in Muskegon?
Yep, I grew up in Muskegon. Went to Muskegon High School and then graduated there. Went to the University of Michigan and got a bachelor's degree in architecture.
So you were a Big Red.
Yeah.
And what can I ask what year you graduated?
2011.
I was going to say he's way too young that he has no problem telling what year he graduates in. So 2011, and then you went off and you went to Michigan, you said, and then you got your architect. So, wow, that's like quite an accomplishment right there. So when did you graduate?
I graduated from Michigan in 2015.
All right. And now you're back home. Is your plan to stay home?
Yeah.
In Muskegon?
Yeah, I would definitely like to work in Muskegon and stay in Muskegon.
Oh, we'd like to hear that too. So to have our young people who actually go off, they get their degree, they come back home. And why is it that you'd want to live in Muskegon when so many people want to go off other places?
I think that pretty much everything you want is here. I think we just have to touch it up a little bit. I think there are some improvements that can be made, and that's what I want to work on.
That's your goal right now, is to actually make those improvements. You see all kinds of potential here.
Oh,
that's how I feel about it, too. It's funny because right now my sons are away, believe it or not, in Hawaii visiting their dad for a month, and I'm really looking forward to seeing them next week. But when they first got there, they were all about it. Oh, I'm going to live here. This is wonderful. Oh, my gosh. And then I talked to them a couple of days ago, and they were like, yeah, kind of missing home. You know, I miss the fresh air. You know, Mom, our beach is so much better, and those kinds of things. And they're, you know, around your age, too. And I get excited, and I think sometimes you need to go away to understand how much you can appreciate what you have at home here.
Yeah.
So now... you grew up here, and now you, how did you get to the city of Muskegon in terms of working there?
Actually, I met Frank Peterson at a public input session at the Silversides Museum, and that was where I found out that there's a planning internship position, and my degree is in architecture, but my interests are in urban planning, and so I asked if I could give my resume, and things went from there. Within about a month, I was the next intern.
Wow. Now, Frank Peterson is our city manager for the city of Muskegon. So that was a great connection there to make, by the way. That was pretty good. And that's so one of those people out there looking for interns or looking for internships, because that's not easy to do.
Oh, no, definitely not.
It's actually very difficult. I know we get people calling us all the time wanting to serve internships and, you know, a little particular in terms of we want them to be all, you know, focused when they come in and that. You know, to find those really good ones who are not, you're doing more than just pushing paper around.
Yeah.
And I can definitely, I know from my own personal knowledge that you're doing more than just pushing paper.
Yeah.
So what have you done since you've been with the city?
Oh, I've done a variety of things. Started, and one of the first things we were working on was a development plan for any future development at Pierre Marquette Park.
And what was involved with that? Now, I know that we had some public hearings on it, right?
Yeah, that was one of those hearings was where I met Frank Peterson. And then we ended up having one more before I started. And then just after that, we switched the interns. And that was when I started. And we had a few more presentations at City Commission work sessions where I talked about the things we were looking into and working on. And we just wanted to get as much public input as possible because it's definitely a gem.
Absolutely. It's huge. Everybody, we take personal ownership in the lake, at Pierre Marquette Park, especially there, and the Cruzy Park. And so when anybody talks about touching those, everybody gets involved. So you jumped in pretty quickly there, and you had to make these presentations, I know, right in front of City Commission, which is a bigger deal than most realize. It's kind of can be intimidating, can it?
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
Just try not to think about it.
I know, you don't. Yeah. But you did a really good job with it. I definitely saw that in you. And so there were some plans that were developed now. Did you put the plans together, or are you working with the people?
The planning department put a lot of the stuff together, and I put together the presentation for it.
Right.
And tried to give it sort of a round, full understanding of what we're trying to do and there's a lot of little things that we mm-hmm. can do.
And right.
That was one of the themes that we've been working with, but trying to make them all form into a cohesive whole.
Yes.
I think that's the most difficult part. And there's been pushback from the public, and which is yep. totally accepted. And we're just trying to get our point across as clear as possible. And I think it's gone pretty well through right. those meetings.
We're never going to make everybody happy. We know that. But we do try definitely to go with the majority most of the time, I think, and try to find that happy medium, maybe mm-hmm. where everybody's a little unhappy or give a little bit of everybody. But I think one of the most important parts of putting you on board is that we have a different perspective, because sometimes some of us have been in our positions for so long that we don't actually see necessarily a new perspective. And so to bring in a younger person who's fresh out of college, who has different ideas, or knows what interests him or your age group or demographics, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, because if we keep talking about how we want our youngsters to go and I sound so old when I say youngsters, I'm not that old, but when they go off, we want them to come back, but we have to have things here to draw them back too. So, and that's right. where having you involved is a big part for the planning yeah. department.
And I think it's important to have kind of one foot in the future, one foot in the past.
Absolutely.
To know the history of the city and what it has been in the past and what people remember about it and what people want it to be is all.
Yes.
It all builds up, and it's a little daunting at times to think about all those things at once, but I
right.
think in every project it's important to consider a variety of different time frames where people are building their understandings of things from, and things like that.
And it's so funny when you say remembering the past too, because for some people might actually know your dad, uh-huh. who is Ron Pesch, who is in the community, who is a huge history buff about Muskegon. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, local historian.
Yeah. He seems to know all of that. Now, he's involved in, you're going to have to help me out with some of those projects or those things that he's, but I know that I've seen him several yeah. times over the years.
Right. A lot of his work culminates in either a book or a statue.
Okay.
there's the Buster Keaton statue right outside the Frauenthal.
He's a big, he knows a lot about Buster Keaton, and he's yep. been a big part of that. And that festival too,
the International Buster Keaton Society. And
yes.
They come to Muskegon every October from all over the world. And
right.
he does walking tours of the Actors Colony, which is down in Bluffton. If you haven't been on one, you should check it out.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of history right under your nose and you'd never know it. And then he's written a book about Muskegon High School football. And he just republished a book about Bluffton and the Actors Colony, too.
Wow. Yeah. I know he's a big advocate about saving history and preserving it. And so, like you said, that's why it is important, though, because we do need to preserve our history. We don't want to lose that as we move forward, too.
Right. And that's one thing that you definitely can call your own when you live in any city is your history. Because
that's right.
That history didn't happen anywhere else.
That's right.
That's, I think, a great foundation
yes.
to start looking at your city that you live in and trying to improve upon it.
So can you tell people about some of the thoughts and ideas that we have for Pierre Marquette right now? And again, these are conceptual. I think some of them are going to happen this summer. Some are in the just planning stages, or we're checking it out, trying to find out, more if we can do it kind
right.
of thing.
Right. And I think one of the biggest themes that I was pushing through all this was the idea of a lighter, quicker, cheaper approach to things.
Okay.
So it's not the same as, putting up a full-scale building and, considering that to be the development pattern for the next 30 years.
Yep.
You start small and you do little changes that will improve, and they can build to bigger changes and move on to greater things. So we started with the idea of maybe some small temporary retail sheds, or we had two other options. One was like a shipping container, which had been proposed for a downtown project before, and then the pods moving storage units.
Yes.
And we considered all those, and we figured sheds would probably make the most sense. They're visually appealing, and they can be designed to blend into what people imagine when they see Pierre Marquette Park.
Mm-hmm. And just to clarify, so sheds, I know, because I think of like what I would buy at a retail outlet. The shed is more for anybody who watches like Tiny House.
Yeah, they're one of those shows.
Yeah, they're like these little tiny, 90 square feet, 150 square feet, kind of like little buildings that are actually, but they're like little houses.
They have a lot of character to them. And
yeah, so just not plain old pop-up plastic thing. Yeah.
type things. And then beyond that, I mean, there's the, when I walked in the first day, I looked at this sticky board of all these sticky notes from all the public input sessions. Yep. And so drawing from all those, it was like, 200 plus attendees at all these public input sessions, and
with all
they
these
had all these sticky notes, and everybody made multiples. And so we tried to reduce that down to its essence of what people really wanted to see, and we came up with a few different talking points. And based on those, we tried to come up with alterations that we thought would be necessary at the park and things that people have been pushing for. So we've considered rerouting some of the traffic just by really simple means, setting up some traffic cones and some signs just to route traffic around. And we tried some of this, and it might have went a little haywire with, and I wasn't there for that, so I guess I can't speak
I think that lasted like a whole 2 weeks.
Yeah, people got a little up in arms.
Yeah, but you know, I think overall the people were really good about it, because as many of them said, you never know unless you try it.
Yeah,
and
trial
so
and
it,
error.
And that's exactly what that was. So, you know, you tried it for a couple of weeks and went, nope, that didn't work. So back to the drawing board to kind of figure out that congestion that we have down there in the really busy times of summer when it gets really hot and that beach is packed.
Yeah. And that was basically the approach we try to take with most things. I mean, obviously, people don't want to see buildings go up on the beach. It's great the way it is, and the natural setting is pretty much unparalleled.
It's beautiful.
In many parts of the nation, if not the world.
Yes.
And so taking a really light approach to things, and trial and error, and not putting anything too permanent, nothing that can fail disastrously, and then we end up having to deal with that afterward. It's just something small, temporary, like a pop-up shop, or you know, putting a few signs up, making people rethink the way that the whole area could be, and perhaps that leads to something more permanent down the road. But for now, it's just an experimental stage.
And the pop-up shops, those would be, again, instead of somebody going out there and throwing up a table and kind of making it look more, you know, I don't know, like a, we don't want it to look like a yard sale kind of thing. So this just actually gives more attraction to it as well.
And we looked into food trucks, all kinds of things to give people reasons to go down to the beach, as if there aren't enough already.
And we want to offer more, because that was some of the feedback we got, that we need more food down there.
Events and food
and restrooms. We heard that too, that we need more restrooms down there, and I don't think any of us are disagreeing with any of those. We need more food, and we need something that some things that they can purchase. You know, maybe if you forgot your suntan lotion,
just something as simple as that will make a huge difference in the amount of people that really enjoy their time at the beach.
Right, because then they'll tend to stay longer, and, you know, the longer they're there. And then, it's a whole ripple effect there, absolutely. So when we talk about the pop-ups, we have something new happening downtown. And this is more, I think, more firm. I mean, in terms of I think we're pretty sure this is happening in May. We have pop-ups that are going to be added to downtown.
Yep, I was just walked in. Frank Peterson again came in one day and said, we want to do some nautical-themed pop-up shops for downtown that we can put on some of the vacant property down there to, you know, activate the space and get people to come downtown and shop. And so from there, kind of spun off into this little village of shops that we can kind of put together quick and rent out. And they can be easy, cheap, affordable for small businesses to occupy and market their product in a pretty popular destination.
Yes. And they're really cute. I saw the drawings that you made of them. There's going to be 10 of them.
Yep. 10 or 9, I think. We're not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're going to be behind the Matt's bus system on Western.
Yep. They're going to be right on Western Avenue where there's a new little plaza with picnic tables in it there. And, that stretch, and they're going to extend down at least part of that. It's a long block, but
And they're all going to be lined up there. So if you can picture that, these are like picture little tiny houses. They're all going to be decorated differently there, all with small businesses. And we're going to have a variety. We're going for a variety. So we're going to be, you know, we don't want it to be all art or all jewelry or all, you know, we want it. Mm-hmm. So we want it to really pick up the retail because we want to make it interesting for everybody. So the rental, what we decided on the rental is that, and this isn't sudden, but it's going to be around about, $1,100 to $2,000. But that fee is going to be from like May through October.
Yeah, I think we had maybe the potential for the center, the mid-summer time.
Yes.
Being a possible rental time, and then sort of the ends, the spring, and then the fall.
Yes.
As an included time where, and we discussed, you know, scheduling
all of those,
all of the sheds to be open all day.
Yep.
During the really popular summer months.
There's going to be like a 6-week period of time where they, mm-hmm. You must be open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. is the information I have there. But the possibility to think about being able to have a downtown establishment for as little as, $1,100 for the whole season, mm-hmm. is amazing for somebody who's got that great idea, who's got that little shop going on, or maybe has a shop in another place but has been wanting to get into downtown and can't afford it, or wants to check out how the market is. What an awesome opportunity, totally awesome opportunity. I expect that they're going to be starting to market them probably at the beginning of February, mm-hmm. with the expectation of having them all filled by the beginning of April, so that everybody is on the same page and everybody will have their assignments and that.
Right.
Now, one of the things that they did with those lovely pop-ups is that they put them under the clerk's office. Well, they decided to put them under actually the farmer's market, which the farmer's market went under me back in a couple of months ago. So now they've added the pop-ups. And they're just a block down from the market. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm already getting calls, just rumors, people hearing about it. And we were just talking. I've already gotten several phone calls of people asking questions about that. So if anybody does have questions, even though I'll tell you right now, I don't have the agreement ready. I hope to in the next couple of weeks, I will have something written so people can actually review it and understand what it's about and that. But if you have questions or you have an interest or even just want to see the agreement when it's done, you can always call me. My number is 724-6705, and I'd be happy to go over it with you. And even if you just want to, pop me an email at ann.misch, M-E-I-S-C-H, at shorelinecity.com and just say, hey, I'm really interested in this. Can you send me more information? As soon as I have that, I'd be happy to do that. But I can tell you that our builder has started building the pop-ups this week. So another exciting step in this whole process.
Major props to him for taking this on so quickly. And he's starting right away. I mean, I gave him some pretty simple drawings to work from of basically what they were going to look like. And he's doing all the construction on his own. It's impressive.
Yeah, it is impressive. In fact, we were just thinking that maybe we should drive by and check on him maybe in the next just see how he's doing over there. There's going to be so many, like I said, possibilities. And they're going to be between, there's going to be, three sizes, right?
Yep.
The 90 square feet.
90, 120, and then 150.
150. So the price is going to be based on square footage. And that's where the price difference of $1,100 to $2,000, it's in that range. That's what we figured out. But again, that's not per month, like a lot of places you would get in that kind of vicinity. That is for the whole season. But part of the deal is you have to be open on the days that is indicated. So, and there is a 6-week period of time where you do need to be open 7 days a week. So it's good to have a partner or somebody who can cover for you. If you can't be there, that's going to be one of the big things because we want to be open during all the festivals, during when the cruise ships are in. That's important to us. The highlights of the summertime, we've got downtown going on. We got the first Fridays of the month.
Those are very popular.
Oh, that was huge. That was absolutely huge last year. I can't imagine.
It'd be good to give people something else to look forward to along with it.
That's right. Because one thing that we are still working on downtown that we're kind of lacking, I think we can admit that, right, is retail.
Mm-hmm.
We've got quite a few restaurants going on down there, quite a few pubs. We got the 18th Amendment now coming too. So a lot of good things happening down there, but we just don't quite have the retail happening. But this might really open up some opportunities for people because once they get going in there, if they can get a market and have that draw,
right. Right.
Maybe they'll be looking for something else because there's other buildings that are going to be built down there with the intention of putting retail in those establishments as well.
And I think the request you're getting before any even formal announcements is that there's demand for these kinds of things, and people just need a space to do it. And I mean, I've noticed that a lot of the historic buildings that are already built are occupied. There are all kinds of places going in, Hamburger Mikey's and the Third Coast Vinyl. They take.
Have you been to Hamburger Mikey's yet?
Not yet.
Me either.
I almost went the other day.
Ah, if you decide to, call me.
Okay.
Because I have not been there, and I'm like, yeah, of course I got this diet thing going, so I I know, but yeah, Hamburger Mikey's, I want to try it, so, and I've heard nothing but great things about that place.
Looks good.
On 3rd Street. And they have some exciting things happening on 3rd Street that I heard about, too. They're not my project, so I won't talk about them because I don't know, but that's with the downtown. They're, I think, adding, there's a business going in or something over there, too, but just some really exciting things happening on 3rd Street, that corridor right there.
I think, it's the building excitement. There's definitely little things happening that I hope will add up to a greater whole, and then things might take off. We don't know.
That's right. But yeah, and as we talk about the pop-ups too, I know the idea came, was it Walloon Lake? Is that where the idea originated?
Yeah, it's a resort town, Northern Michigan, and they've been done pretty much all over the place. There are all kinds of little temporary sheds, but this development of Walloon Lake is, I think, 14 sheds, and there are like 50 square feet each, and it turned out to be really successful. It just took up a vacant lot between two buildings, and every summer it sounds like they rent out all of them, and it's just this little village of shops that the average entrepreneur can start a space in and go from there.
Like anybody can do it kind of thing. And then we have, where was it, Boston? They have, of course, a bigger kind of, but beautiful pictures that I saw of what Boston does with their pop-up sheds. Right. Were you the one that went there?
Yeah. They started doing that this year. It's near their city hall, actually.
Right.
And they have this large plaza that they try to program events at. And so they had an ice rink, and they had, I think, 40 of these sheds out front there. And little bit greater population there.
Yeah, a little bit more. We could grow to 40.
Yeah, it could happen.
Man, if we fill up these 10 so fast, we might have to have Tim just keep building us more and more all summer. You know, we need another one. I don't think we're going to turn people, if we could, you might have to get out there and figure out where to put them for me.
Yeah. I don't know.
And everybody will have to give us a break on this because we're, as we go along, we're figuring it out. You know, I'll be honest on that one. And when something is brand new to us, to a community and not a lot of, things are places that we can follow that really, go with the same, layout, I should say.
It's always good to look to other cities for examples.
Definitely.
But when it comes down to it, every place is different. And
right.
Everything's going to work differently in a different place. Speaking of different places, the plan is to be able to move these sheds, right?
Yes, that's the whole thing, because then once that lot, there's already interest on that lot, but if something does come along and they want to build on it, then the nice part is these things just get picked up and moved to another location.
Yep.
So we're not, not out anything. That means the whole little village just moves to somewhere else.
Yeah. And it was even kind of difficult to find a place to construct them, since we're going to have to be able to move them out of the big door, and it's cold out. And
Luckily we were able to. We were using the farmer's market in the indoor barn area, but even we still have to move them out on Fridays because Saturday is when we have our indoor market, the winter market, which is, do you go to the winter market?
I haven't been. They had a little thing going on in the savings bank, which is where 18th Amendment is going.
Yes.
I don't know if that was the same concept.
That is not. Well, I mean, no, you got to come to our winter market. Okay. So everybody, it's a wonder. It's what, 9 until 2 that you can go in there. You can get all your fresh fruits and veggies. And then there's some, of course, our arts and crafts things always in there too. But so you can get that fresh stuff all year long, still support your market and your farmers who are there. And I think there's 26 vendors. And actually, I mean, it's completely sold out. We would have more if we had more room in there. That's what I've been asking for. So maybe my architecture could sit here and he could draw a plan so I can actually add more indoor space.
Oh, yeah.
But we're completely booked out, and they do a great job there. And of course, for families who may be use an EBT card, we still have the Double Up Food Bucks, which is a really important program. So for those families, you know that you can go in there with your food card, and once a day you can, which right now is just Saturdays, but you can take, you can buy $20 of fresh fruits and vegetables, and you get $20 free. Mm. So it's like double. So I always think that's a really important and a great, and it's very popular. And just want to remind everybody that that's still there in the wintertime too. So please come on down and check that out. And we've been closed for a couple of weeks because of the holidays that just recently happened and that. So we're going to be open again. And then also we opened a small shop in the in the front of the farmer's market that sells like farmer's market apparel. That just happened in the last few weeks too. Have you been in there?
I haven't seen it all, but I've seen your pictures on Facebook there.
Oh, yeah. That was it.
All kinds of new designs. And
yours truly was painting and doing all kinds of like cool and fun stuff and everything. Yeah, trying to get this thing going. And so I'm pretty excited about it. And it was just like a storage area, and it's turned more into it's definitely a little store now, and it's just really, really cute too. So,
and that's, I mean, taking advantage of the assets that we already have.
That's right.
Can't be understated how popular the farmers market is.
Yes.
Year round, even. I mean, you can have a winter market. There's not too many places that have the demand for a winter market.
No. And, you know, we have a painting class coming up in just a couple of weeks, and we already have 40 people signed up to attend that at the farmers market. And then February 16th, and I'm just putting this out there. So actually, you guys are the first ones to hear about this. We are having, it's called Dining in the Dark.
Oh, yeah. You did tell me about this.
Yeah. Dining in the Dark.
I
so
don't know how I feel about it.
You got to be brave. But anyway, on that day, we have a great chef, Jack Page. Do you know him?
Yep, I do.
Yeah. He was the chef at Smash Wine Bar. I know he was there. And he's done this before. But anyway, he's going to be cooking everybody a delicious dinner that we'll be eating at the farmer's market and inside. Somebody asked me that. Is it outside? No, it's not outside. It's inside. I'm not that brave. But the trick is that we eat in the dark and you don't know what you're eating.
Like pitch black.
Dark. Pitch black, like nothing. You can't use your cell phones, anything like that. You get led to your table. In fact, we encourage you to wear older clothing, nothing that you don't want to stain or anything like that. It's just a great sense of humor, a lot of fun, that we have fun with it. At the same time, you know, I don't know if the chef wants me to tell you this. We're not like, you know, I've been the only one to see this menu, and I'm pretty fussy. And I can tell you there's nothing that's like that would really freak you out. But the idea that you don't know what you're eating is what freaks you out, you know, because it would definitely, it does it to me too, I know. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a lot of fun, a whole lot of fun. And I'm going to be putting that out there in the next day or two. We're going to put that information out there, and that's going to sell out really fast. Now, tickets are $45 for that. It's going to be an evening. It's really, so they're going to have like some sound system playing in the background, and it's just going to be a lot. It's going to be a fun time. It's something unique. It's really close to Valentine's Day. Do you have a girlfriend?
I do.
Oh, see? Now, look at. Now, this is, you could just like make her up on those coupons that say, okay, on February 16th, which is 2 days later, this is what we're going to do. She would love that.
I don't know about that.
And for people really worried about staining or getting anything on their clothes, we have aprons. We have the kitchen aprons that we have there for sale. So you can buy that, a chef hat or whatever like that. And like, can you imagine?
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I've never been to an event like this. It was something that Mr. Page has done before and told that we heard about it. And we approached him and said, hey, do you think you want to do something like this at the market? So we're just like super excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So,
anyway, I think if you can do it, anybody can
do it. I know. That's right. That's right. Because I am like one of the fussiest eaters you can ever imagine on the face of the earth. And when I say fussy, I mean fussy the opposite of what most people are. I have to eat really plain stuff. And I got to know what's in my food or I don't eat it. So if I see something and I don't recognize it, I'll ask you. And
this will be the true test.
Oh, man, is it rough? It's like, it's pretty tough. Yeah. Well, I can't believe it. But look at this. The time is already done. I want to thank you so much for coming here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I know. It was probably like kind of hard. You were just like, what am I going to be doing? I know you were asking me. Wasn't too bad, was it?
No, it wasn't.
No. And so hopefully you're going to come back and you're going to give us an update, especially on Pier Marquette and the downtown and how those pop-up sheds are coming.
Yeah.
And that as we get closer in the summer, because people, you know, that's our gem. And so everybody's going to be really watching out for what's happening at the beach. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's coming soon, so
it will be there.
It'll be very nice, and we get everything.
It's going to be great. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Until next time.